Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, July 24, 2022, Romans.
All right, first things first, we have a couple of birthdays. Shelby's birthday was last Thursday, but she couldn't be here. She wanted to make sure nobody else got her present. So she's here today. Happy birthday to Shelby. And happy birthday to Magnum down here. How old is Magnum?
10.
What's that about?
70.
70, yeah. You get around better than I do, Magnum. So happy birthday to Magnum. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble to fellowship with you and your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. We are in Romans 5. The first paragraph of Romans 5 is verses 1 through 5, and that is the results of justification. And result number 1 is in verse 1. And that is peace with God. Verse 1 sounds like this: therefore, because we were justified by faith, and that is, we were imputed with the righteousness from God and declared to be righteous, we have peace with God. Peace with God, reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word peace in the Scriptures has five different connotations. There are five different categories of peace in the Scriptures. And so we just got started on looking at that last Sunday. Category number 1 is our verse, Romans 5:1. peace with God. Now, you have to distinguish between peace with God and the peace of God. Totally different in the scriptures. Two completely different categories. In verse 1, Romans 5, 1, we have a preposition pros plus the accusative. P-R-O-S. Pros plus the accusative literally means face to face with. Face to face with, and the object of the preposition is theos, God. Face to face with God. That's what we have in Romans 5:1. This is peace with God. Peace with God is secured at the moment of salvation. It is the result of justification by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And that's Romans 5:1. This is the peace of reconciliation. The work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross directed toward man. Now, when you look at the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, so here's the cross, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. His work on the cross was directed to three different areas. First of all, it was directed towards sin. And this is taught in the doctrines of redemption and atonement. Secondly, it was directed toward, his work on the cross was directed toward man. That is the doctrine of reconciliation. That's what we have here, peace with God. The barrier between God and man was removed by Christ's work on the cross. And third, the work of Christ on the cross is directed toward God. And that is taught in the scriptures, the doctrine of propitiation. So the salvation work of Christ on the cross, directed toward sin, man, and God. What we have here is the work of Christ on the cross directed toward man. Jesus Christ solving mankind's problem of sin, being imputed with the sins of the whole world, judged for those sins. Now the barrier between God and man has been removed so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, has a personal relationship with the living and true God. So this peace or reconciliation describes the removal of the barrier between God and man. I did such a bad job trying to show God and man and the barrier, and I'm not going to... You laughed too much, too hard at me on trying to do that. And it rightly so. You notice I did not do this. I didn't do that. And my son, Deacon Dave, he's still recovering from knee surgery. And this was Debbie. Debbie did that. She did a fine job. We'll have to increase your pay, I guess. I mean, when your pay is zero, is so this peace or reconciliation describes the removal of the barrier between God and man. The removal of this barrier was accomplished by the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This peace with God is appropriated by the individual through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14, Colossians 1:20, Romans 5:1, our verse. That's the first category of peace in the scriptures. Category number two is the peace of God. And you have to distinguish between peace with God and the peace of God. And what you have in this is the genitive case. Notice before it was pros plus the accusative, face to face with. Now we have the genitive of theos. That's the word for God. And the genitive, this is of God or from God. So while peace with God is the result of faith in Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation and faith in Christ, the peace of God is the result of growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advancing to spiritual adulthood. And when you do that, well, God is free to pour out on you fantastic blessings. And that is the peace of God. God pouring out fantastic blessings to you. And that's what God wants to do with all of us. The plan of God is so fantastic. It's not only providing for you eternal salvation, but it's designed, God is just tapping his foot, waiting for you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ so he can pour out the peace from God, the peace of God, greater grace blessings. So the peace of God is the highest and the best of greater grace blessings that God has for the spiritually mature believer. It refers to the greater grace blessings that God has for the winner believer in time and for all eternity. The peace of God includes great temporal blessings, spiritual blessings, blessing by association, historical impact for blessing, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing. And those are all the greater grace blessing for you while you're here on earth in time. But he has greater grace blessing for all eternity for the winner believer, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star. Greater grace blessings that glorify God forever and ever and ever. All of these things make up the peace of God. All of these greater grace blessings come from the grace, down the grace pipeline, from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness of God in the believer on the other end. This is the result of the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advancing to spiritual maturity, becoming an invisible hero. And we saw some passages. I want to start with that this morning. Turn back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. They actually, at least in the NIV version that I have, they actually did a pretty good job in translating this. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, let's start at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. See that word prosperity? Guess what that word is? It's the Hebrew word shalom. S-H-A-L-O-M. Shalom. That is the Hebrew word for peace. The Greek equivalent is eirene. Both eirene and shalom are words that literally translated is peace. But when it's the peace of God, the peace from God, it's great blessing and prosperity. In fact, if we were Jews and you came by me and I saw you, I'd say shalom. And you would say shalom lecha. And when you say shalom, you're saying, you're wishing the very best of health and prosperity and blessing to you. And they're saying back, and I'm wishing all the health and prosperity and blessing back to you as well. Shalom, shalom lecha. Because shalom means prosperity, blessing in its widest sense. It means health and wholeness, soundness, welfare, prosperity and blessing. And the Greek equivalent of shalom is eirene. Eirene we have in our passage in Romans. And shalom is what we have here in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. The prosperity and greater grace blessings of the peace of God are the result of the attainment of wisdom. Attainment of wisdom. And what is wisdom? Well, there are a lot of people who are smart, but they don't have any wisdom. There are a lot of people who are geniuses, but they don't have any wisdom. It's not a matter of your human IQ. Wisdom is the Word of God that you learn and believe. When you believe the Word of God, it goes into your heart and it becomes something. In the Hebrew, it's called chokmah. In the Greek, it's called sophia. And it is the Word of God in your heart which enables you to apply the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your life. That's wisdom. Applying the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your life. We saw Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Now just turn over to Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happiness is two. You might see the word blessed. The word is asherah. That's the word for plural of happiness. So it's happinesses. Happinesses to the man who finds wisdom. Wisdom. The man who gains understanding. Wisdom is the word of God you learn, believe, and is in your heart. The absolute truth of the word of God in your heart gives you wisdom. Now you can apply that skillfully and accurately to your life and everything that's going on in life. The man who gains understanding, for she, wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom. The Word of God that you learn, believe, and is in your heart. Long life, literally it says, length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is free. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her wisdom will be blessed. So here we have all her paths are peace, greater grace, blessings, prosperity. Those who lay hold of her get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart and wisdom will be blessed. That is the peace of God. So the Bible distinguishes between peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God is salvation, adjustment to the justice of God, reconciliation. You believe in Jesus Christ, you now have the barrier between God and man removed, and you now have a relationship with the living and true God. Peace of God is the believer growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advancing to spiritual adulthood, and receiving fantastic greater grace blessings. So that's two of the five categories of peace in the Scriptures. Category number three is inner peace. Inner peace in here, in your soul. So a couple of things. One, inner peace is the state of tranquility. Tranquility in the soul of the believer who has advanced to spiritual adulthood. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, well, you will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, and the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ, you will share the happiness of God. And sharing the happiness of God, happiness is a spectrum. Ecstatics on one end, but tranquility on the other end. And so here is a part of sharing the happiness of God. Fantastic tranquility in your soul. Regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on in America or Nevada or Las Vegas or your marriage or your family or your job, this is inner peace or tranquility. So inner peace is the state of tranquility in the soul of the believer who has advanced to spiritual adulthood. Two, it is freedom from misery or frustration or disquieting and oppressive thoughts. Freedom from misery, freedom from frustration or disquieting and oppressive thoughts. Three, it is freedom from mental attitude sins, such as worry. Freedom from worry. Freedom from anxiety. Freedom from bitterness or anger. So it is free, inner peace, freedom from mental attitude sins such as worry, anxiety, bitterness, anger. Four, inner peace is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a mental attitude. It's not a feeling or an emotion. It's a mental attitude. It is self-contained happiness. Self-contained happiness as a result of growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maxima metabolized doctrine in the heart. Wisdom in the heart. So inner peace is not a feeling, not an emotion. It's a mental attitude of self-contained happiness as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Five. This inner peace transcends all human understanding. And it's unique to the believer who has advanced to spiritual adulthood. What a fantastic blessing. Inner peace, no matter what's going on, no matter who's president, no matter who is on the Supreme Court, no matter what's going on, by way of a pandemic or no pandemic. Now if it isn't COVID, now it's monkeypox. Do you have inner peace or are you falling apart because you wind up with monkeypox? Now, we've had lots of pox. Smallpox was a major issue years ago. And then chicken pox. Almost all of you have had chicken pox when you, in school. Everybody got chicken pox in school. And then one thing about chicken pox, it's a virus and it's in your body. You get over the chicken pox. And then when you get to be elderly, I had to pick the right word. The virus can flare up. And it's called shingles. Now, the only shingles I knew about was the shingles on our house up in Washington. You get shingles. And what is it? The herpes zoster virus attacks the nerves. It attacks your nerves and you start, it's called the shingles because it's also called the cummerbund. You get rash around your stomach and back. And pain, lots and lots of pain. And the rash will be there for a month or so and then it'll disappear. But the pain, what is really the attack is on the nerves. It takes months for your nerves to heal. Months. And for some people, they never heal. So if you get shingles, you might have shingles the rest of your life and you get to run the shingles hurdle. So we may have to do a special class on running the shingles hurdles. But hurdles is suffering for blessing. For the winner believer, it's suffering for blessing. It is a great honor. It is a great privilege when God can give you suffering for blessing. Great honor. And it's an opportunity for you to live your life by the grace and power of God. All these are hurdles for the winner believer. Hurdles. You learn how to clear those hurdles and glorify God in the midst of suffering. That is fantastic blessing. So this inner peace transcends all human understanding and is unique to the believer in spiritual adulthood. Six, this inner peace is a fortress that guards your hearts and your minds. This inner peace is a fortress that guards your hearts and your minds. Seven, this inner peace is having Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. That's how fantastic our God is. That's how fantastic the living and true God is. He wants you to have an inner peace which transcends all human understanding, that guards your hearts and minds, so that you can have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. And that's God's plan for you. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you're there. You're there. You get to have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. This is the great passage on inner peace. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 4. Now I'm going to read I have an NIV I'm reading from here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, that word rejoice is keep on sharing the happiness of God. It's a command to all of us. Keep on sharing the happiness of God in the Lord always. Always. At all times. And if that isn't enough giving us a command in the imperative mood, God the Holy Spirit has Paul repeat it right away. I will say it again. I will repeat the command. Keep on sharing the happiness of God. And what is happiness of God? A spectrum from ecstatics to tranquility. And inner peace is that tranquility. Sharing the happiness of God. Tranquility in your soul. At all times. Always. Rejoice. Share the happiness of God in the Lord always. At all times. I will repeat that. Keep on sharing the happiness of God. Let your grace function be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, after thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, here we have inner peace, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is the third category of peace. Now, you have this if you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means you need to find a sound Bible teaching church. That's almost impossible today. Not completely impossible, but almost impossible. fundamentalism in America has gone off the cliff, emphasizing everything except what they ought to be emphasizing. And so if you're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if you are, you need to find a sound doctrinal teaching church and get your patootie in there and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, let's say you just say, no. No. I'm going to live my life and do whatever I want to do, which is I'm going to do what the devil wants me to do. I'm going to get in the cosmic system and I'm going to live in the cosmic system. Okay. What do you, are you going to have inner peace? No. Turn over to Isaiah 48:22. My mother used to always quote this to me. I don't know why she'd quote this to me, but she did. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 22. There is no peace for the wicked. Just about how my mother said it too. There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. Oh, I thought you were mom. But there is no peace for the wicked. No inner peace. No, you live your life in the cosmic system. You live your life in reversionism. You will never know what this inner peace is. That's a shame. Because it's a fantastic blessing. All right, that brings us to the fourth category. Category number four. And this is peace. Excuse me. Oh, I just reached puberty. This is peace of impersonal love for all mankind. You see, what's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life? The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is for you to attain virtue love. What is virtue love? Well, it's three parts. First of all, you develop personal love for God the Father. That's a motivational virtue. Once you have personal love for God the Father, that motivates you to have impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. Impersonal love for all mankind. And that is exactly where this piece is dealing with this. What happens when you have impersonal love for all mankind? Do you create barriers or do you take them down? No, impersonal love for all. See, Jesus Christ in reconciliation removed the barrier between God and man. When you advance to spiritual maturity and have impersonal love for all, you don't create barriers between others. You take barriers down. That is the peace of impersonal love for all. The other part of virtue love is occupation with Jesus Christ, and the other side of the coin of that is sharing the happiness of God. So category number four, impersonal love for all mankind, or the mature believer operating under reconciliation, taking down barriers, not building barriers, but taking barriers down. All right? Couple of things. One, this peace is manifested by the winner believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has completed the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. God wants all of you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's why we're here. That's the ultimate objective. Two, a very important part of impersonal love for all is reconciliation. A very important part of impersonal love for all is reconciliation. Three, This is the removal of barriers in personal relationships. This is the removal of barriers in personal relationships. Four, this results in harmony and peace in personal relationships. This results in harmony and peace in personal relationships. Five, this is a very important part of clearing the hurdle of people testing. You're going to all have people testing. How do I know that? Because there's a lot of people. And they're getting more people all the time. People everywhere. So this is a very important part of clearing the hurdle of people testing. Six, the winner believer does not build barriers in human relationships. He removes barriers with the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. The winner believer does not build barriers in human relationships. He removes barriers with the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Now, this is vital in all personal relationships, but it's absolutely, point seven, it's absolutely vital in marriage relationships. It's vital in all personal relationships, but it's absolutely vital in marriage relationships. And God has called us to remove barriers, not to create barriers. God has called us in our marriage relationships to remove barriers. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Now, in this section, Paul is teaching about marriage and divorce. From chapter 7, verses 10 through 24, he's talking about marriage and divorce. Now, with regard to that, in verse 15, we have a marriage between a believer and an unbeliever. Now, the Word of God has made it clear, if you're a believer, you should not marry an unbeliever. But it happens. And believers marry unbelievers. And there's usually a lot of difficulty in those marriages. We're warned not to do that. Believer should not marry an unbeliever. But believers marry unbelievers, and they've been doing it ever since there's been marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15. But if the unbeliever leaves, so in this case, there's a believer married to an unbeliever, and the unbeliever deserts, leaves the marriage, just takes off. Let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. So if you've married an unbeliever, and sometimes it's a man marries an unbeliever, sometimes it's the woman marries an unbeliever, and if they desert and take off, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound to such circumstances. But that's not what God has called. Now we have what God has called us to do. God has called us to peace. What God has called us to peace is to operate with impersonal love for your husband or your wife and remove barriers, don't create barriers. Now, I grew up in a home, my mom was a believer from way back when she was a little girl. She believed in Christ as her Savior. And she married my dad, and he was an unbeliever. But my mother applied the principles that were here, because he goes on, Paul goes on and says, God has called us to peace, impersonal love for your husband or your wife. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? My mother was a believer in Jesus Christ, and she was growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. She, in a sound Bible teaching church, my dad got to see Jesus Christ again and again and again and again. And then I believed in Christ. My brother Don believed in Christ. My brother Mike believed in Christ. My sister Judy believed in Christ. My brother Dave believed in Christ. So now in our household, my dad was, he didn't have a chance. And we were all giving my father, when we had the opportunity, give him the grace gospel again and again. He saw Jesus Christ in the whole family being reflected in my mom and all of his children. He saw it again and again and again. And in God's perfect timing, my dad believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was the last of the Olsen-Heakins who believed in Jesus Christ. My mother operated with peace, impersonal love for my dad. We all did. And my dad believed in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul is teaching here. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? You operate with impersonal love for all. Peace here is impersonal love for all. Removing barriers, not creating them. And it's a great, great blessing when down the line that unbelieving spouse believes in Jesus Christ as a Savior. So point eight, this peace, I'm going to give you one more point. This peace as the functional virtue of impersonal love for all and reconciliation is the result of having wisdom in your heart. And what is wisdom? The word of God that you believe enters your heart so that you can now skillfully and accurately apply the truth of God's word to your marriage, to your family, to your job, to all personal relationships. Turn over to James chapter 3 and we'll take our break after James 3, and we still have category number 5 to go. All right. James 3, start at verse 17. But the wisdom, here we have it, Sophia, the Word of God, the absolute truth of God's Word, the wisdom that comes from heaven, and the wisdom that comes from heaven, that is the truth of the God-breathed scriptures. You believe it. It's in your heart. It is first of all pure and then peace-loving. Peace-loving is virtue love, impersonal love for all. All personal relationships. Impersonal love for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I admit in our society today there's lots of bad and ugly, not very many good. But impersonal love doesn't distinguish between them. It's impersonal love for all. That is virtue love. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, impersonal love for all. Considerate. Considerate. Submissive. Full of mercy. That's grace in action. What is this peace-loving? Grace in action. Considerate, thoughtful, impartial, without hypocrisy. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And that is the believer living with virtue love brought to completion in your heart, operating with impersonal love for all. Well, you have a harvest of righteousness, grace righteousness, because your life reflects sacred honor, virtue, integrity. And we don't see that often, even among Christians today. But this is how God designed the plan for this to operate just like this. All right, that's four categories of peace. We have category number 5 to go, but we'll take our break. See you back in a few.